culture of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, and they'll, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
Oh, they're not the hippies at all. The punks have already lasted longer, and in terms of message content, they have more to say.
Welcome to another episode of TacoCast, an Atlanta-based music and interview podcast. And who better to be the first guest than the band that gave me the name for the cat that gave me the name for the podcast? That would be Seattle's Taco Cat. Recently just had its Nevermind LP released by Sub Pop offshoot Hardly Art Records. They also just made their Atlanta debut at Criminal Records and then had a nightcap at 529. And the latter was one of those cool instances where after South by Southwest, a bunch of cool bands come through together at once because they opened for Hector's Pets, Fletcher C. Johnson, and Liquor Store. Anyhow, I'm going to get this started with a song. It's going to be Bridge to Hawaii, which has been out there on the internet for a minute, so most of you probably heard it. And from there, I'm going to jump right into the interview. So here is Bridge to Hawaii. I wanted to talk to you guys is my new podcast that we're launching with. This is called Taco Cast because my cat's name is Taco Cat, and your band had some bearing on me picking that, but I'm curious, why did you guys pick the name Taco Cat?
We kicked around a lot of names, and then Taco Cat was one of them, and someone said that they thought that's what an 8-year-old would name their band. So we're like, yep, that's the one, that's it.
Yeah. And you're like a sexy 8-year-old. It just makes you seem worse.
Yeah, 8-year-olds, dude.
Okay. And with the new album that just came out, I've noticed a trend with bands that end up on Hardly Art or Sub Pop. Other than Channing and the Clamps, they still kind of do the raw thing. But a lot of bands, when they make the jump to the bigger label, they'll put out something that's a little more polished, that maybe they put a little more time into. Like, what you're doing now, is this sort of the sonic vision you guys had, or have you adapted to having maybe more studio time?
It is a more polished version of what we were doing a little bit, but it's more about us growing, like, learning our instruments better as a band than, like, the label thing.
It was a pretty organic, like, evolution. I mean, our first album came out, like, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And so we've been writing and putting out 7 inches and stuff like that, and I feel like it just sort of evolved that way. And then we recorded with Conrad Uno in Seattle, who is like a kind of a Seattle legend.
Yeah.
And he had a lot to do with how good that album sounds.
Yeah, totally. But I think if you have a smaller 7 inches in between, it's like a gradual build to what it sounds like now.
So this is a sort of part of the natural growth of the band.
Yeah, we did a lot of 7 inches since I ain't doing an album.
But I don't think we ever like planned on doing that. That's just kind of how the songwriting went.
We have gotten so much better. I remember losing my voice after every two shows.
Definitely.
Would you say that's sort of the extent of touring and playing together a lot, the getting better?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And the more you play, like, the better you get. And then, I found myself playing the same sort of drum beat over and over again. That just gets boring.
Right.
Really wanted to just, like, expand. But it's just something that you feel the more you do it.
Mm-hmm. And things are a little more melodic. So,
kind
of, like, writing songs is a little different process than it used to be.
Yeah.
Cool. And it's the only new album. I like that Alien Girl song that you sing the bulk of. It kind of reminds me of, like, a John Waters movie, like his vision of the 50s. Like, I'm thinking of, like, Ricky Lake as a teenager pregnant. So, what? Could you tell me a little bit about that song?
Like, well, that song is actually a cover. It's a band called The Crabs.
Oh, okay.
And they're on K Records. Oh. Like, they're
Pacific,
like, Olympia,
Northwest,
Portland.
Band. Like a 90s band?
Yeah, it was like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah,
they're still a band, actually. They're putting out something new soon, which is crazy.
But it's been one of my favorite songs since I was like 19.
Cool. Is it kind of true to the original? Or were they going for that?
Yeah,
it's pretty close.
I think we actually added a final chorus.
I think we made it a little longer. So, you know, you always want your favorite songs to be longer, right?
Right. The old version wasn't even 2 minutes long. So
no.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I really like the Crimson Wave song, and then also what's the other single? Drawing a blank on. Ritual Light, did you guys with the label pick that? Because I felt like you kind of picked the two catchiest, most accessible songs to be out there before the record.
They
picked
Hawaii
a lot.
They definitely, that was the first one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But then we made the video for Crimson Wave.
I think that
was going to be the single, though.
I think we picked Crimson Wave.
I think the label sort of liked Crimson Wave, and we liked... I mean, they liked Bridge of Hawaii.
Which we like too.
But those are...
we don't know.
Those are the two that we probably would have picked from.
You know, what's funny was when we wrote Crimson Wave, it happened in like 5 minutes.
Right.
And I was like, cool, there's a 5-minute song in the bag, I guess.
does that include the lyrics? The 5 minutes?
No,
or
no,
that,
no,
that
just
came
the,
later?
Just the music mostly.
I remember,
actually,
I was like, I want to do a surf song called Crimson Wave because of Clueless. And then
we were like,
it was definitely like on deck, but just the music part happened so fast.
Right. Well, and then Emily definitely cranked out, like, while we were writing the music, Emily cranked out a lot of the lyrics. And
entire process was like
a half an hour. And I remember thinking at the time, like, oh, that's fine. You know, like, that was a song.
I knew that.
A song for
that
the, for, you know, I had no idea that it would become like,
I think I had an inkling on that one. I was like, I fucking love to play this song.
It quickly became one of my favorite songs to play, and then it became song I made a video for and the single.
Yeah, the video's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, the video, that was really fun.
It was really fun to make, yeah.
Which
yeah.
I didn't even know about the pop-up video version until yesterday.
That oh, yeah.
I
so,
still haven't watched it. I
you
still
haven't?
Haven't?
It's
seen
so funny.
The
it's
pop-up
so
video.
Funny. My husband came up with all the, like, writing in the pop-ups.
Oh, cool.
And
yeah.
Jason edited it from Hardly Art, did all the editing, and he
came,
came
out really good.
Jason's a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Jason.
Yeah.
Cool. Are you guys already working on new songs and looking for the next album, or are you just sort of soaking in how well this
yeah.
has gone?
Yeah, we've had so much to do with this album and, like, getting ready for tour. Mm. We just sort of hit the ground running. It was pretty insane.
It's,
we
like,
left.
Ever since, like, what, like, 2 weeks before the album release, even, I feel like we've been nonstop. Just,
yeah.
Like, so busy.
Well, and it seems like to me that usually we, when we go on tour, we come back home, and when we've been playing together a lot, that's when I start to feel like really inspired to write, to start
exactly,
writing
yeah.
like
yeah.
guitar parts. And it seems like when we, after we get back from a tour, is when like the song, like a lot of songwriting starts
definitely.
To happen. So
yeah.
I think our plan is kind of spend the summer playing some shows and writing like
yeah.
locally, and then playing a lot of or.
I remember
writing
yeah.
a lot of songs.
Eric came to me like a week before tour and was like, "What are you doing? Let's go jam. I want to write some new stuff." And I was like, "Yeah." And then I was like, "We don't have time for that. We have zero time for that." It felt like a good idea.
Right. I thought it was really cool at Criminal earlier. I think it was you maybe talking to them. There's a couple of girls. They were saying like they were 17.
Oh yeah.
And that they came to see you. To me, that was really cool. Do you have a lot of younger fans? You
no,
find
we love
just because
yeah.
you do poppier stuff that maybe
definitely.
More
I mean, not like
in tune with
a
know.
Ton of them, but they do come out to show mostly like record
yeah.
stores
yeah.
stuff that's for underage.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we used to just play to people that were exactly like us. Like we used to play to people in bands.
Yeah.
Like in Milwaukee, we're just
mm-hmm.
like playing to all our friends in bands. But now
yeah.
it's starting to branch out. Like we got that right up in Rookie.
Yeah.
And, oh, you know, it's
yeah.
geared to teen girls. And like.
It definitely feels good to think that we're inspiring, like, the younger, like, a younger
yeah.
generation.
Definitely.
You could
like
be to them what the Crabs are to you.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Well,
there were so many bands when I was that age. And, like,
yeah. yeah.
What always blows me away, though, there's two girls who came to our record release show in Seattle at the record store.
Yeah.
They kind of remind
just,
me of
exactly,
just exactly
remind,
like those
yeah.
two girls. They were like
yeah.
best friends, and they were totally
yeah.
cool and like sweet. And I'm talking to them, like it took me a minute to even realize that they were that young.
Yeah.
And I was like,
"How did you get so cool?
Yeah. How did you get so cool? Because when
why,
I was 13, like, I was just not that cool
yeah,
at all.
Why are you so much cooler than me? Than
yeah. How about you're cooler
17.
Than me now, and I'm 12 years older than you.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine being that kind of person at 17 that just didn't exist where we're from.
Yeah.
Really. Well, and the internet, I think.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
yeah.
Kind of like
yeah.
It's a little, probably a little easier, a little more accessible.
Yeah.
yeah. What's what?
So
yeah,
it's always just really, really makes me happy.
I mean, one of those girls had like a Shannon the Clams pin.
Yeah.
Like,
they were cute.
I think I was a year older than before I knew the Clash was, much less
right?
knew about like
right.
cool
I know,
new bands,
right?
you know?
I was, like,
I'm blown away by them. And,
yeah.
like, one of them, I like, had, like, the same outfit she was wearing
yeah.
and the same shoes as another one.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys are
right.
way ahead of me.
and, it's cool they have Criminal to go to because places like this in Atlanta, they're really strict about the checking IDs and stuff. And I'm not saying that
right.
places like this should buck the law on tape
yeah.
or anything,
right,
you know.
Right.
But, and not to make it a gender thing, but it'd be cool if those girls could, like, see the coat hangers and bands like that that are
oh,
from here.
Oh, my gosh, right.
And that would probably make a big difference to them, but they just don't
they
play
don't,
places
yeah.
that...
Yeah.
Younger people.
Underage shows are, in Seattle, they're
mm-hmm.
not, they're few and far between, too. Like,
right.
all ages shows.
Mm-hmm. I used to sneak into shows, I used to draw my, stamp on my wrist and go see, I remember trying to sneak into a Yeah Yeah show when I was 18, which was, like, embarrassing, but, like, I was, like, all I wanted to do was see this band, because
yeah.
I had, like, read about them, and then
right.
I went around the back, and I tried to convince Nick Zinner, the guitar player, to like let me in, and he's like, "Don't you know you can just draw a stamp on your wrist?" I was like, "Oh," and I got a Vic and
yeah.
threw it on, and he like saw me later, and he was like, "See?"
yeah.
yeah.
So I guess, like, with bands, you want everybody that wants to see you to hear your music.
Definitely,
but at the same time, you know, there are rules, and you don't want to get anybody in trouble.
I mean, I would...
You don't want to be, like, smuggling 16 and 15-year-olds, you know?
Sneaking those girls into the show sounds awesome, but I would never actually do that.
Yeah, some girl in Nashville wrote us, and she's like, can you sneak us in? And we were like, we're not gonna do the same thing, we don't want to get in trouble, but figure it out.
Probably had some weird mental image of like an angry Nashville dad holding you responsible.
And, like, I'm sure those girls are cool, but like, come on, like, anyone would roll over, like, they told me to do that, like, you're not gonna try that. Just, like, it would be easy to, like, pass the buck to be like, just email out.
Security would, like, have him by the shoulder talking to him, and you just happen to turn the corner at the wrong moment. Exactly. You're like, it was her, and she's pulling at you. Like,
Takuka gets arrested.
Partying with 16-year-olds. Again.
Again.